Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? How are you guys doing? Hope all is well with you. Hope you're having a fabulous day, week, month, year, and life in the midst of everything that we're going through. Still be encouraged. I know it's a lot. I promise you it's a lot, but we still have to be encouraged and know that it's bleak right now, but we still gonna be victorious and we're gonna come out in a better situation. So I want to start off with this. Everybody knows that I am completely scared of needles. I have a serious phobia. The whole nine, panic mode, oh, flip out, I'm gonna pass out, the whole nine. That is me. So, what did I do? I went and got my first COVID shot. So let me tell y'all how that played out. So for 3.5 months, I was in the process of talking myself into getting this shot. I saw something where they said they were going to come out with a pill. I was so excited. Is it going to be a pill? Well, that did not happen, and they stopped talking about it. So, I want y'all to know, I've never been against the vaccination. I'll take whatever pill you want me to take. Whatever, I don't care. You know, I'm down with 50 million pills. But when it comes to needles, that's just a whole different ball game for me. And I am not the fan of a needle. It freaks me out. It spooks me out. Everything you can think of or imagine, oh my God, that is what I get from the needle. So I had been talking myself up. You're going to have to get this shot. You're going to have to get this shot. You have to do it. You have to do it. In a minute, it's going to be required. Everywhere you go, they're going to say that you have to be vaccinated. So I started the whole little process of getting my mind there. So by the time we got into the 4th month of me telling myself that I have to do it, I had moved to the part where now I was on Kaiser's website trying to make dates. So the first time I did it, I just looked and played around, and then I went on back to whatever it was I was doing. The second time, I bust out crying as I was looking, trying to make a date. It just freaked me out. Oh my God. Just freaked me all the way out. So that turned into another 2 weeks. So by the 3rd week, I said, you know what? My cousin's not available to go with me. I'm just going to have to buck up, Bucky, and I'm going to have to do this. So I finally made an appointment. Oh my God. All week long leading up to this appointment, I was freaked out. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And when it came to the day of, I woke up before the crack of dawn, unfortunately, had no reason to be up that early. So now my mind is just a spinning. It's just a spinning. I'm gonna get this shot. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm telling y'all, the mind will have you so stuck. Your mind is a powerful, powerful thing. If people don't know that, it really is a powerful thing. So, time came for me to get up. I got up, went and grabbed me some food at Jack in the Box because they was like, you gotta have, you know, some food. So I went and got me a little breakfast sandwich, got me some orange juice, and I'm trying to drink the orange juice. I had drunk some water before I left the house. I'm trying to do everything that they say tell you to do. I drive over, I'm in the parking lot, and I'm driving through the parking lot, and I'm starting to shake. I can see my hands physically start to shake. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I park, I try to calm myself. I'm like, okay, I got like 5 minutes before I can get out. I said, well, let's go and get out the car. And I head over to the elevator and I'm on my way. The closer I get to the door, the worse the shaking gets. I get inside, I ask the lady, where do I go? And she tells me what floor to get off on. And she said, you won't miss it, the signs everywhere. I get off the elevator and I'm looking. I say, okay, there it is. And I go up and I'm like, at this point now my knees are buckling. I'm in full sweat mode. Oh my God, sweat is running down. I'm about to pass out. You know, this is where we are. And my theory was, I pay all this money for Kaiser and I never use it. So if I'm going to get a COVID shot, I'm going to already be at the hospital. So if I pass out, they can just wheel me to a room, baby. Wheel me to a room. So I journey around and the lady says, what time's your appointment? I said, it's 9:55. And at this point, it's 9:52. She said, oh, okay. Here, take this card. She hands me this card and it's got all these questions on it. It all looks bleary to me because at this point, I'm truly in another world. And so she said, well, head on over there and register with the young lady over there. I get to this young lady. Okay, so what shot are you getting? I don't know. What do you mean? What shot am I getting? What are you giving me? I'm like, oh my God, why are you asking me? What are you giving me? What shot are you giving? Well, we offer all three. Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know, ma'am. I'm scared of these. I don't know. My mind is not here. So I am flabbergasted. Just you name it. I am all of it right at that very moment. So I then in turn, she's like, okay, well, I say, well, I'll just take Pfizer. And so I decided to take the Pfizer. I don't know why I said Pfizer, but I took Pfizer. There was no reason why I decided on that. So I made the journey. And she says, okay, well, go on down and stand on that dot. I'm like, okay. So I head on down. And before I could get to the dot, the woman comes out. And I'm like, oh, good. I'll be going here and I can sit down and I can compose myself. And I got like a minute or two to get myself together. When that woman says, okay, come on, follow me, she takes me right in the room. I am now in the room where everybody is getting a shot and everybody is sitting up. There's like 6 different stations. I dang near pass out. I dang near pass out. I have to grab the table. And she's like, oh my God, are you all right? I was like, I'm scared of needles. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to make it through this. And she said, well, come on over here, sit down. And I said, I did not know this was going to be in front of everybody. I thought we were going to go in a separate room. I would have time to compose myself. And I would be in here looking like a fool. Well, that didn't happen, as you can tell. So I sat on down and I started looking to my right. She's on my left-hand side. And she's like, okay, so let's answer the question. What questions? She said, on the little pamphlet that they gave you. I said, baby, I can't focus right now. I can't even see that. So are you allergic? I said, no. And she goes down the hall and says, okay, cool. And now which arm do you want? Which arm? Oh my God, what do you mean which arm? I wanted an arm that's closest to you. Give me a shot so I can get this over with. So I start fidgeting, trying to get my shirt to go up so she can give me the shot. I'm sitting there like my shirt would not stay up. I'm shaking still. I am just in panic mode. And so the lady says, okay, we're here. Let me get it because I see you're nervous and this is going to be all right. I promise you it's going to be all right. And she takes my shirt. She fixes my shirt. She gets it where it goes up. And next thing I know, I feel she's put in the swab where the little alcohol or whatever. And I'm looking away. And now when she did that, I'm clenching. I'm like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. And while I'm in oh my God mode, I feel her putting my shirt back down. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, I'm done. I said, you're what? She said, I'm done. So you can go in there and now you got to go sit for like 15 minutes so we can just monitor you to see that there's no negative reaction to the vaccine. I'm looking at the woman like, you're joking, right? You're joking. you're not done. And so I go inside. I'm telling y'all, I'm in the chair talking to myself in my head because I'm in a room with a bunch of people. So at this point, when I don't want to be that black man that's sitting there looking like a fool, crying and yelling and screaming and all this, because I just knew I was going to yell. I just knew I was dang near going to pass out. But I was like, you got to buck up, Bucky, because it's all these people in the room. So you can't be embarrassed. You can't embarrass yourself. So I'm sitting there like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then after all of this hype in my mind, it was over in less than 3 seconds. And I'm not going to tell you that I didn't feel anything. There was a small initial pinch. I did feel that. But what I saw on TV is what just, you know, that kind of made it worse. I saw the people just jabbing it in people's arms and all of that. This young lady that gave me the shot did not jab it. She placed it gently in my arm. And I was asking questions like, is it a big needle? How long? How far does it have to go inside? Oh my God, how far are you putting that in my arm? Oh my God, I can't just. And all of that. And it was over. And from what my mind had me thinking that it was going to be to what it actually was two different things. And that's why I say I can't stress enough that you have to sometimes get out of your mind. Your mind can keep you in a web where you can't never get out of. You'll feel like you always in a spinning circle. And it's like a spider done built a cocoon around you and you just can't get out. And you're like, perfect. Oh, here's another perfect example. It's like you, the little hamster on the little treadmill inside there, and you running on that little thing. And you just running, 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 running. But you're not getting anywhere. My mind had me so wrapped up believing that this was going to be the worst thing of life. The worst thing. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm never going to make it from this. I'm never going to make it from this. I am so scared. I can't do this. Because that's what my mind had me believing. So now I'm sitting in the room and I'm reading the little stuff that is, you know, they tell you to do afterwards. And I'm maybe 12 minutes in and they give you a little, well, Kaiser gives you a little, the Kaiser Hospital, for those of you that don't live here in California, is a hospital here that's on the West Coast. And so they, it's a big hospital, it's a big chain of hospitals, and they take you in a little room and they give you like a little turkey baster timer. And they put 15 minutes on it. It starts instantly. And you sit there. And I was just sitting there. And I was content with just sitting there. You know, I was in seventh heaven. The shot is done. I'm still freaked out that I did it. And it's like, okay. So close to 15 minutes, so maybe 14:30, 14:40, the lady comes over. And she's like, you feeling anything? I said, no, I'm not feeling anything. She said, well, wait a few more seconds and then you can get up and just make sure you go make your appointment for your second one. Because, of course, now after my thought process, I was like, I did not want to get Johnson & Johnson. And this is just me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. But I remember Johnson & Johnson talcum powder giving people cancer. And I used to put talcum powder in my bed every day, daily, when I freshen my sheets, especially that's when after you get that first initial wash, because, you know, at that point, you know, we always want to be fresh as we can, because we're never getting in our bed without taking a shower. So when I'm getting in with them cold sheets and then having the talcum powder all over my body, oh, just beautiful thing. So I'm just like, I done freaked out because my mind has me going. So I'm not getting Johnson & Johnson because my mind remembers that everybody who was using that talcum powder well, not everybody, I can't say everybody, people ended up getting cancer. And I was like, no, I don't want to do a single shot and get cancer. I'm scared. I don't want to freak out. I don't want to do that. So in the heat of the moment, I just hollered Pfizer. In the heat of the moment. And that's what I ended up with. I've had my first shot. It's out the way. And now we're on to our next. So I will tell y'all about that. I'm going to take a break and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm just going to give this just a hot minute or two. But I have a question. Why every time now I look up on TMZ, on the news, you guys go to a sports game, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, and it turns into a brawl. I'm trying to understand this. Help me understand this like I'm a 2-year-old. You pay all this money to get into a game and watch a football game where the players make millions. Millions. You get into a brawl. You get evicted from the game and get banned and you can't come back. All this for a game. I'm telling y'all, I'm trying to understand. This is not real life. This is a game. And then, is it because you guys bet thousands and thousands of dollars on these games? And then when you lose your money, you feeling upset, so you got to take it out on the person who is not supporting the team that you're supporting? I don't get it. The latest one right now was the Cowboys against the Chargers. And I'm looking at the video like, this is crazy. And they end up pushing the guy into the water. And then, of course, you know we're in this modern age where everybody just wants to record and get all of that. But there is a woman trying to stop the fight. They push her out the way. And then there's several other women running up trying to get into so they can be the closest. What is wrong with you people? Explain to me what is wrong with you people. Why is everyone so violent? It's supposed to be a game. And that's what you leave it at. Hell, it's supposed to be a peaceful day out to enjoy a good game. If they lose, oh, better luck next time. If they win, yay! I don't understand. Help me get it, people. What are your thoughts? Help me understand, because I truly do not get it. And I don't think I will ever get it. Now that we're back, I just want to give a quick shout out to a place that my coworker told me about. And it is called Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard. It is at 740 El Camino Real in San Carlos, California. Cute little spot on El Camino. It's on the main drag. If you're in San Carlos or if you're in the area, you know, 101 southbound will get you there. All you got to do is get off and take any street over. And El Camino is the main thoroughfare. Oh, my God. Cute little quaint spot. I wanted some ice cream. You know, we had a horrible driver's meeting the other day. And I was just like, oh, I need something that's going to lift my spirits, because sometimes you just get so frustrated with school bus drivers, because a lot of them just don't get it. They argue and debate about stuff that's so crazy. And I had just reached my peak. So I wanted that. I went in and I got this twist, and it's custard. And I was like, custard, you know, I always think of that's like pie stuff, but they make a frozen custard. And I got the twist, which is the vanilla and the chocolate. OMGG. Truly amazing. Thank you, Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard. You guys are the bomb. You guys go there, check them out, have a good time. I promise you, you will love it. And I've told that their Italian ice is good as well, so I'm going to go back and try that. And they have other locations. I didn't know that as well. Learn something new every day. My cousin in Arizona commented on my Facebook post and said that they have some other... So I don't know if she saw it there or wherever. I don't know. You guys check it out. It was the bomb. I promise you. But I was reading some stuff and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about, because I just wanted to kind of change the direction of, you know, sometimes of where I'm going in life. And I'm always trying to make sure that I'm abreast of things and not just not knowing stuff. So I was reading an article about Black history. And I've heard of them. And you know that there's a show out now called Lovecraft. And it features Journey Smollett. And, oh, what's the other guy's name? I can't think of the name of the guy. But you guys know Journey. Her brother is the one and only. Oh, my God. What is his name? Why am I slipping today? You guys know him. You guys know him. It's crazy that I just can't give you his name off the top of my head like that. But you know him from Jesse Smollett. That is the brother. Oh, I don't know why I had to struggle to get that. You guys know him. He was famous for being on the show Brain Dead. That's where we're at now. That's right. It's Brain Dead. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes I wonder. I wonder what goes on in my mind when I can't remember things like that. But he was on Empire. You guys know him from Empire. My brain just went dead. But him and Journey are sisters. And you remember Journey. She's played in a lot of stuff. She has been acting for a long time, actually. And she was actually more famous before him. In recent years, you guys would have seen her in Tyler Perry stuff. Oh, and my favorite show, Underground. She was in Underground. Oh my God, I loved Underground on WGN. I was so mad when they canceled that and nobody didn't pick that up. It was an amazing show. And she was in there. So now she's on this show called Lovecraft Country, or however you say that. And it's basically about sundown towns. And I've heard of them before, but, you know, never really had a discussion about it. But as we've been having so many issues with what's going on in America race-wise, how things are not changing, and how we just came through having one of the worst presidents ever, who put racism back front and center and allow racists to continue to do the things that they were doing before, that they were covering up. He let it all just come back to the forefront and be right there. And so there were towns where you could go into in the daytime, because in that time, this is, we're talking about the before the 70s, but it actually begun way back in like 1890, somewhere around there. But you could drive through these towns in the daytime, but you could not be there at nighttime. So basically what happens is you could go work there as a slave. You could go shop there and spend your money that you little bit you got from being a slave, but you could not be in the town at nighttime. And I was searching for this and looking it up, and the origins of like sundown towns. And so one of the first recorded examples of a sundown town in America emerged during the colonial period in 1759. So see, it goes even back further than 1860, what I thought. And It says something like this. His Majesty's province of New Hampshire passed a stipulation that forbade the nighttime travel of non-white residents under the pretext of preventing disorders at night. Whereas great disorders, insolences, and burglaries are oftentimes raised and committed in the nighttime by Indian, Negro, and mulatto servants, and slaves to the disquiet and hurt of Her Majesty's good subjects. No Indian, Negro, or mulatto servant or slave may presume to absent from the families where they respectively belong or be found abroad in the nighttime after 9 o'clock unless it be upon errand for their respective masters or owners. Baby, I want y'all to tell me I read that. I read that just as it was written. So don't think that I'm over here doing something. That was exactly how it was written. Boy, we've come a long way. Because y'all know that just sounded crazy. But this stipulation was published inside of the local newspaper. So everybody saw it. It wasn't like this was something that was being hidden. Everybody saw it. And so, you know, at that time, it was very few white people that weren't racist. So, you know, there were, and I'm not saying that there wasn't, because there's plenty of people who helped. But the sad part is, here we are. This was in 1759. Here we are in 2021. Getting ready to go into 2022, and we're still dealing with the same thing. I was watching a post with, not post, a video with my, oh my God, Farrakhan, that's his name. I think that's Farrakhan, or the mom, one of them. Yeah, I think that might have been Farrakhan, now that I can't think about it when I'm looking at the face. But it was a post on Phil Donahue. And it was a video clip that happened like 20 years ago. And it might even have been longer than 20 years ago. And he was answering questions about race issues and stuff like that. And there were so many white people who have such a just a big problem with black people. And he really broke down the fact that you have no history on us. And that was one of the key things that stuck out with me, is that you have no history. You have no patterns. You have no nothing. And I was like, well, dang, what is he getting at? And it was truthful. When I listened and continued to, you know, grasp at what he was saying, white people are so scared for black people to be free. And they're scared because they think that we're going to do everything that they've done to us. Beat, kill, rape, murder, in cold blood, torture, everything that they have done, kidnap, because African Americans are not from here. We were kings, we were queens, we were rulers, we had our own nation where we were. We were kidnapped and brought here to be slaves by white people. White people who, now that we are getting our freedom and we still have a long way to go, they continue to still try to do everything they can to hold us back from being completely free. And during this, after the Civil War, you know, that's when they abolished slavery. But they still tried to pass laws that didn't give rights to African Americans. And that became the Jim Crow era. So they were trying to pass all these laws that said you can't do this, you can't do, and it only pertained to African Americans. And you know, it was real prevalent in the South, but in other areas, it happened as well. It happened as well. So, 1919, while I was reading this, there was a summer call. The summer of 1919 was called the Red Summer. And I'm so heart just broken when I see what this was called. The reason why it was the Red Summer of 1919, white mobs fueled by racial animosity, communist paranoia, and yellow journalism attacked black communities all across the United States right after blacks fought in the World War I for white people. So after being kidnapped, coming here, then being forced into the military, then you come home and white people get mobs and come in and kill hundreds for no reason. There's no reason. And basically because you never wanted black people to succeed. You never want black people to come out. And when I watched, as Farrakhan, it was Farrakhan who said that, and he was saying how we just don't have a history. Where has it shown that we have been serial killers, serial rapists, serial murderers for no reason, just cold-blooded murderers, kidnappers? Everything that they're trying to say that we are and they're trying to portray us in the newspapers is what they've done. That's not what we do. Really, most African-American and black people are just trying to survive and make it in the world. They just want to have a little peace of mind and be at peace and live a good life. But the reason why there's so much drama and it's so hard for some other black folks to do such is because the mentality of where they are, because you've thrown them into these communities where you put nothing in the community and everything is a struggle. You don't put any money in the community. You don't put any systems in the community to help the community. You don't offer education in the community. You don't offer any kind of motivation, no therapy, no nothing, so that people can get the help and better themselves. So that puts them like the crabs in a boil. So when the water is burning, the crab is trying to get out, and the crab is going to step on the other crab because I'm going to push you down so that I can get out. And that's where the mentality just stays the same. And it continues to do the same thing over and over again. And I just don't understand. When do we get to a point where this changes? When do white people, who are now the minority, you're no longer the majority, you are now the minority. Because see, here's the thing. The sad part about it is, black people, black men did continue to have a lot of kids. Well, those kids are grown now. They're grown. They can vote. They can do everything that everybody else can. And they just don't understand their worth. That's the thing. Because if they really understood their worth, they would know that if they voted and put people in position who were compassionate about all people are created equal. All people are the same. No one is greater than anybody else because we all get up and put our pants on the same way. We all get up and do the same thing. We get out and try to make a better life for us and for our families. So if we could just get to that part and have those people that become politicians instead of politicians who are more worried about their pockets being greased and they cheating and scheming their way to get to the top, things would change. We're still passing law, and it's sad. Y'all know I'm a Texas baby. It's sad what's going on in Texas. It's sad that they're passing all these laws to stop people from being able to vote. Voting is your right. It is your right. And anything, there should be a polling center everywhere so that you can go and turn in your vote. You should not have to sit here and stand in line for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then it shouldn't be against the law for someone to come and give you water. Why do we think that that's right when it's 102 degrees outside and you standing out there? That's tactics to stop black people from voting. To stop black people from moving ahead and bettering themselves and putting people in position who care about them. All people are created equal. No matter what white races tell you, all people are created equal. And we have to get to that. So check out The Red Summer of 1919. And then check out Sundown Towns. And there's a book about it. You know, there's always something. Reading is fundamental, I promise you. If you start reading, you will start learning some stuff. And sometimes when I'm reading this stuff and I'm looking for stuff, I get frustrated because it makes you think, I'm sick of what these white people have done. And it almost makes you not like white people. It puts you in that space, but you have to be able to decide who's a good white person and who's a bad white person, because we have plenty on both sides, good and bad. And during this time, this is when, if you've seen this, if you know anything about black history, the Negro Motorist Green Book was developed. And it came out by Victor Green. And it was for black people to find hotels, taverns, garages to get their cars fixed, nightclubs, restaurants, service stations where they could get gas, places where they could buy automotives, tourists, places, homes, roadhouses, barbershops, beauty salons. And it was prepared so that you could have that with you and you knew where there was a safe place to stop. Because at the time, people wanted to travel. Black people wanted to get out and travel, but it wasn't safe because you had these areas called sundown towns. And like I said, if you haven't followed it, check out Lovecraft Country. It gives you a great idea. And I don't know. It's sad that we're still doing the same thing. It really is sad that we're doing the same thing in 2021. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Unmasked and unafraid. So, a mother of four who was truly against COVID, she posted several times on her social media, everything anti-vaccination, everything. So, Kristen Lowry, 40 years old, passed away on September 15th from COVID-related complications. So, you know, this is where I have been. Y'all know I just got my shot. You heard me talk about that earlier. I was truly not with the shot thing. And it was because, you guys know, I'm freaked out because of needles. It wasn't because I was against vaccination. It was just the fact that me and needles are not good friends. But this is what's so disheartening to me, is that there are so many people out there who think that the COVID shot is some type of put a computer in your body. It's put some type of tracker. There's so many conspiracies and theories about what this vaccine is doing. And I just don't get why people really think this hard on stuff and put this much energy into it. Now, this woman who leaves behind children. Now that she's gone, the aunt says, oh, she was really a good person. And she was fighting for her life against COVID. And her sister says, my sister has a long life, but that turned and went left because the sister didn't make it. And so, of course, now all this time that before she was alive, her page was public and she posted every stupid thing known to man, saying everything against getting vaccinated. She got COVID and she died from COVID. And so here's the thing. People died, several people, hundreds of thousands of people have died from COVID. And I just don't understand why, if you see people that are dying and people that are losing their lives, why would you continue to get out here and be so against what's going on in the doggone world? I just don't get it. I've never understood it in my life. And it's so confusing to me. And it seems I picked the wrong spot to sit here and record at, because I'm like by a train and the train keep coming, y'all. That's why y'all keep hearing that noise. The train keeps coming. I'm like, okay, when is the train going to slow down? But it ain't. So this is what was stressing to me. Now that this whole time she's been against it, she got COVID and she died, and now she's leaving behind four children. They have a GoFundMe up for her. They have a GoFundMe. I'm telling you, y'all, GoFundMe is the new way to bury people. It is the new way to bury people. And you want people to give to you when, you know, and it's kind of hard to say this because we know God, everybody has a designated time and place that they are leaving this earth. But that's where I get torn, because she could have took the vaccination and helped prevented herself from dying. And I'm like, okay, you want us to feel sorry for your sister, your niece, your loved one now, after she has caused several people to just say, hey. So now, are all of your family members running now to get vaccinated? Is that the top of the list to do? Because that should be the first thing to do. We all getting vaccinated because we don't want to be like her. We do not. We do not want to end up dying from COVID-related symptoms. And so on the GoFundMe, it says she lived for her children and loved being their mother more than anything in her life. She was full of life and loved her friends and family fiercely. Okay. So if you lived for your children and this is the way to protect your children, you didn't do what they're saying you did. It's just like there's a restaurant that I just looked up. I saw something. Oh my God, I think that's in Texas too. Some little Hickville town. The owner of the restaurant, you cannot wear your mask in there. If you wear your mask, they ask you to leave the restaurant. Now, there was a couple in there. Their child is sickly. The hospital has told them, the doctors told them, they have to do everything they can to make sure that their child is protected. So that means they have to wear a mask. They got vaccinated. They did everything that they needed to do to ensure their child's safety. But they go to a restaurant, and the restaurant has a sign that you cannot wear a mask. So they were like, okay, well, that's just you thinking that maybe that's not true. No, it was true in this case. They had their mask on and they were asked to leave the restaurant. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Where do people get the thoughts and theories in their heads from? How do you just do the thing that you do? I don't understand. And the owner of the restaurant is standing behind this mess. And yeah, it was Texas. I found the story. I was looking for it. Natalie Wester and her husband, Jose, had joined a group of friends at this restaurant in Rowlett, which is about 20 miles northeast of Dallas. Their son has cystic fibrosis. And so, you know, they're doing what the doctors say do. You go hang out with your friends at a bar, and you doing what you do, put your mask on, protecting yourself. And they said about 30 minutes in, our waitress came over and she sits down next to me and she's like, hey, so our manager is over there in the kitchen and he is not as nice as I am. So I came over here to talk to you. And unfortunately, this is a political thing, but our manager does not believe in the mask. He's tired of being told what to do by, you know, politics in the country. And so you're going to need to take the mask off. How are you tired of being told what to do, but here you are telling somebody else what to do with their bodies that does not affect you? Because if they're protecting themselves, that's their business. Because they're trying to protect their child. So this bar is in Rowlett, whatever, and it's called the Hang Time Sports Grill and Bar. I want y'all to know, if you want to be at a spreader, a super spreader. That's a super spreader event. That's the place you go to. I don't understand. Lose the mask or lose service. But what made me frustrated is that the couple decided to still order and they went somewhere else to get hamburger. I wouldn't have ordered anything. And at that point, I would have stopped. Whatever you're in, send it back because I'm not paying for anything. I'm not giving this idiot a dime of my money for him to continue to spew the ignorance that he is spewing. When are we going to wake up? So it continued on. And so, like I say, they walked into the restaurant with the mask on and there was no issue. They sit down and the waitress comes over and unfortunately it's politics. This is not politics. People dying is not politics. Death has nothing to do with politics. Please tell me, explain to me how death has something to do with politics, unless it's a war. and you're out there killing innocent people, then that's understandable. Then you can say it's politics because we're killing because somebody did something. A perfect example. We went to war because Bush sent us into war trying to avenge stuff that happened to his daddy. Now, y'all can go read that and look that up yourself if you don't believe it. We only went to war when the younger Bush was in office because he was trying to avenge the stuff that had happened to his daddy, the older Bush, when he was in office. Now, that's innocent killing people for no reason. And then that would be, and that's still not even politics. That's revenge. So politics really don't have a place to do with death. It really doesn't. People, we've got to do better. Texas, I'm really disappointed that there are so many people of color who just want to try to live. And after all that has happened in Texas, this governor has taken y'all off the main power grid. Y'all were sitting out there without power. I just don't understand. How are you all right with the stuff that goes on? So, you just cool with it? You get raped. And if you don't find out that you're pregnant within that 6 weeks, you can't have an abortion. Now, you have to turn around and give the man who raped you custody. They get custody rights. So now you got to see this person who broke into your house, raped you. You now have nightmares. You have everything under the sun going on. And now you have to have a place where you meet this person and give the child that you were forced to keep. I'm speechless at what's going on in Texas right now. I'm speechless. I cannot fathom it. I cannot. It just does not make logical sense to me. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to tell somebody who was raped that they have to keep that baby. Carry this baby. Because it's not my body. It's not my mind. I got mental issues of my own. From losing so many people, that's called grief, have turned into just stuff that I can't get past. So now you want me to tell somebody that they got to carry a baby to full term, have the baby, and every time they look at this child, especially, this is what will make it really worse, is because this just happened, y'all. It really did happen. I'm telling you something that really happened. The woman, and it was, I want to say she's a congresswoman. And after all this time, and she was a Republican. She's a Republican. After all this time, you finally made some kind of peace with the rape. Well, now the child is of age to go into the jail. The father who is in jail gets custody rights. And now you got to take the child to the jail to go see this man. And get this. What if you had not seen the rapist? What if he had had a mask on and you didn't get to see him, or his face was covered? It's in the middle of the nighttime, or he knocked you unconscious when he raped you. Now you get to see him for the first time in daylight, and your child looked just like him. Can you understand the nightmares and the stuff that's going to go on after that? Can y'all, you can't even begin to fathom that. I just don't understand how Texas can continue to pass these laws and you guys are all right with it. You sit there, and because this is just common sense, and I know we ain't supposed to be, we ain't supposed to, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but I'm like, that right there, I don't see that as killing, because most of the time, And a lot of times, most of these women should be on some type of birth control. Because in this day and age, most of us can't even afford to take care of the kids that we have that we're trying to get. Because I can't afford to take care of no kid. I barely can afford to take care of myself. In this world where we continue to be priced out by rich folks and politicians allowing the rich folks to dictate the world. They should not be dictating the world. That's fine that you got money. God blessed you with money and you don't use it to help others or you don't use it to better the anything. So, God bless you. But you should not be able to dictate that everything around you, the price has to keep going up. So only a certain class of people can live around you. No. If that's the case, go buy an island and live on the damn island by yourself. Live there all by your damn self. And you can do whatever you want. And you don't have to worry about having any neighbors. Republicans and racist and ignorant people have screwed up this world. They have screwed up this world, and it's. I wonder if we're going to be able to come back. Are we going to be able to bounce back? Are we ever going to be able to get back on our feet and change everything that is going on? Sometimes I just don't think it's going to happen. My prayers go out to the family, the young girls who lost their mother, because the mother could not make the right choice to make sure that her children were taken care of. So, being unafraid of something that has taken out hundreds of thousands of people is stupid. It's stupid. I'm not that crazy. Because COVID has no respect to person. The Delta virus has no respect to person. And if you sit here and the doctors are going on Facebook Live, Twitter Live, all these places live, asking you to say, hey, please get vaccinated because we're tired. They're at their wit's end. They're at their wits' end. They're being worked to the 10th power. Just enough time to go home and sleep and go right back to work after being there 15, 16 hours. When are we going to wake up, people? When are we going to care about somebody else more than we care about ourselves? Get the vaccination. If you don't have a problem with the needle, you should be the first in the line to get it. I'm scared of needles. I did what I had to do. I go back on the 7th to get my second one. I'm doing what I had to do. And look, I'm paranoid of needles. Paranoid. But I even took the Pfizer one. So that I'm doing 2 shots. Because like I say, Johnson & Johnson, you know, they've had some issues with people getting cancer. And that's just not for me. I'm not trying it. So I'll do a different route. But don't continue to walk around here not wearing a mask, not vaccinated, and keep thinking that you're unreachable, because it could be you next. And the sad part about it is, even with the vaccination, there's still a chance that you can still get COVID and you still can die. But there's also there's the lesser chance of you getting it and the lesser chance of the symptoms being as bad. Because no man knows the day, time, nor the place. God has the final say about everything, whether you want to believe it or not. And trust me, the evil and the dirt and the hatred that you have spewed out here on this earth, hell is real, people. Hell is real. And it's a lifetime of it. It's a lifetime. So you think what you did here, you thought you were just enjoying your life, baby, eternity is a long time to burn. Make sure you share the podcast. It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Thank you guys for supporting. I appreciate each and every one of you. You guys are freaking amazing. Tell all your friends. I'll see you again soon.